Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We begin with Allah's name. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. We bear witness that there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And we further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. We greet you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. As we welcome you once more to the airways of America Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi, all praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We are sharing from out of a four-volume Ramadan set of a collection of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Waterthuddin Muhammad, edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. Praise be to Allah. And we shall begin this evening's reading from the Ramadan session of 1999. This is Ramadan, no, excuse me, this is session two. It was delivered Sunday, December the 9th, 1999, in Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio. I want to first share with you the topics of this Ramadan session. The first topic is, God is first in your life all the time. The second topic, don't give charity to impress somebody. The third topic, the love of God above all love. Topic four, and fulfill the contracts which you have made. Topic five, taqwa and righteousness. Topic six, on usury, interest multiplied. Topic seven, Khalifa, the person in the role of responsibility. Topic eight, Islamic reformers. Topic nine, the great scholar, Maulana Maududi. Topic 10, the concept of Mujaddid. Topic 11, Birr on the ball. That's B-I-R-R, beer on the ball. Topic 12, expectations for the third millennium. Topic 13, similar changes for Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So those are the topics that shall be covered in this Ramadan session. And I extend the greetings of peace to our co-host, Michael Hameen. Assalamu alaikum, Michael Hameen.
Alaikum assalam. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to this reading. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. So I'll be again on page 97. And the first heading is, God is first in your life all the time. We are not, and the imam states, we are not yet having the taqwa we should have. Too many of us don't have strong taqwa. If you have strong taqwa, God is first in your life all the time. God is the most important thing in your life all the time if you have taqwa. And your love for God is greater than your love for anybody else or anything else all the time, much greater than it is for anybody or anything. So when you give charity, don't give charity to impress somebody. Don't give charity to be a savior for somebody. Give charity because Allah says give charity. And resist that feeling in yourself to say, I'm helping this person. Resist that. It's natural to be like that. Allah is raising us to higher and higher levels. So it's natural for you to be in that form, on that level, that was your natural human form. But Allah is going to raise you to higher levels of human form. There are higher levels of human form. He wants to raise you from that level to a higher level of human form where your ego is not always in play. And you're not doing this charity with awareness that you're helping somebody. You're doing this charity with an awareness that God has made it possible for you to give this charity. And, quote, I love God. And he says, give it, end of quote. You see, if we get like this, if we become strong in taqwa, we won't have to worry about us attracting people. The numbers of Muslims will increase greatly. The people will see us and they will love us. They will identify us as the righteous. They will love us and they will just come into Islam in great numbers. So we must have the people that call them in the correct form. Next topic. The love of God is above all love. Quote, the Imam is quoting from the Quran, quote, to spend out of your substance, out of love for him, end of quote. There's a capital H there, out of love for God. You see how close we are to Christians? The love of God is above all love for your kin or on your kin. For your kin, for orphans, for the needy, for the wayfarer, and it means the homeless, the people out of doors. They are people on the road. Wab nesabili, meaning people of the road. But the term that's used is not sharia. It's not a road that's a common name for road. So that tells us that it is not only for the person who is physically out of doors, who's physically without a home or a place to stay, but it's also for the person who is mentally out of doors and mentally without a home in which he can live and have peace, protection, security, privacy, and production. So it's the mentally out of doors. The mentally homeless. When they brought us from Africa to make us slaves here and cut us off from our past, they made all of us people mentally homeless, mentally out of doors. Mr. Farrar called us the mentally dead. May God forgive him his sins and give him paradise. Pull him back from the wrong. That's the next subject matter. Pull him back from the wrong. A quote from the Quran, for those who ask, for those who do not ask. End of quote. Like the ones we meet all the time in the community and out in the street. Quote, can you spare car fare? Or can you give me money for the bus? Or can you help me with some food? End of quote. You say, well, he wants a drink. We don't come to that conclusion, even though you feel positively sure in your heart, in your mind, that this person wants to get a drink. Don't come to that conclusion. If you really think he's going to do that, give him some help if you can afford it, and then tell him, be good to yourself. Don't hurt yourself. End of quote. So don't deny him the help. Help him. Help him with the money and also help him with advice. Give him good advice. Pull him back from the wrong. But when you turn him down, hold on, please. But when you turn him down, give him no money and walk away cold. You didn't even register his problems. You make him a worse drunk. You're contributing to his problem rather than helping him solve it. And maybe that's why he's out there, because people are cold. Next subject matter. And fulfill the contracts which you have made. So, quote, from the Quran. So, quote, give to those who ask and for the ransom of slaves, end of quote. To free slaves to pay their price, a quote from Quran, and be steadfast in prayer and practice regular charity, end of quote. And the Imam states, And zakat is translated regular charity. You see, it didn't use zakat the first time. It just uses, quote, give. Let me go back there. In the Quran it states, and spend at atal, mala, and wealth. The word is atal, which is give, to give, common language, common word. But here is a term, Quranic term, zakat. It was not always a term with Arabs that they knew. They didn't know that word, zakat. This was a new word. So we say this is an Arabic Quran. Yes, it's an Arabic Quran, but the Arabs themselves did not know many of these words in this Quran. Until they were revealed to Muhammad, they didn't have these words. Many of these words were not in their language until it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. That's why the average Arab on the streets now, who has not studied Islam, he reads the Quran and he doesn't know anything. The Quran is very difficult for him to read. Quote from the Quran, and to fulfill contracts with which you have made. End of quote. This is righteousness. So brothers, sisters, if you make an agreement with somebody, you have to carry that out. You can't back off from it and start giving all kinds of excuses, looking for loopholes or some way out to keep you from answering your part of the deal or the bargain. You can't do that and be good Muslims. Quote from the Quran, and fulfill the contracts which you have made, and to be firm and patient in pain or suffering and adversity. End of quote. So a sign of a righteous person, a believer, and a righteous person when trouble comes is that the trouble at adversity. So a sign of a righteous person, a believer, and a righteous person when trouble comes is that the trouble doesn't take them over. Trouble comes, but the trouble doesn't take them over. When you see people panicking, their faith was not there, and certainly their righteousness was not there. No, we're never supposed to be disturbed like that. If we have the strong taqwa, we'll have faith in Allah. We'll know that no matter how bad the situation looks, Allah is always in charge, always. And we are only to do the best that we can. And Allah has not made us angels or super creatures. So what we can't handle, if we feel satisfied that we have done our best, we are at peace. Our peace is not disturbed. Even if our mother is tormented on her deathbed and squirming and paining, that doesn't make us squirm in pain. It shouldn't. No matter how good she was to us, no matter how much we love her, it shouldn't make us squirm in pain. It might draw a tear. Tears fall from a peaceful soul, not only from disturbed soul. Quote from the Quran, and be firm and patient in pain or suffering and adversity. End of quote. So we conclude over here on the other page of this book. Quote from the Quran, and through all periods of panic, end of quote, which we have already addressed, panic, such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I pause now. If there's anyone that would like to share some comments on what we've shared thus far. I asked you to press one on your phone, and I will open up your mic. What the Imam is sharing is most, for me, is most important, and it's most essential. It's really speaking to a condition that I have been in also. You know, you see the slaughter and the barbarity and the death that's occurring in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The death and the misplacement of people in the Sudan, especially the Darfur region. We witness the genocide that is occurring in occupied Palestine, children's limbs being blown off of them, homes being destroyed, hospitals being destroyed, messages being destroyed, health workers being destroyed. And the comfort, and I had to come to this, not just recently, but a while back, that Allah is in charge at all times. The comfort in that is that it would not happen if Allah did not allow it. And Allah does not want suffering from us, but that we be purified in our souls. So these things occur. And we may ask, why is this going? Why would he allow such a thing to happen? Why? Allah has his way. And we trust in Allah's way. We trust in his authority. Whether I like it or not, it will be what Allah has willed. And I'm comfortable with that, especially if it's a situation that I cannot change. It is a comfort to know that Allah is in charge at all times. His hands are never off of the controls of the creation. So praise be to Allah. I wanted to say that because we are living in some troubling times. But for the Muslim, we don't grieve, you know. We we know the Suratul Kursi, Ayatul Kursi, that Allah states that his control, his authority over everything is a comfort to us. It is a comfort to us. So praise be to Allah. Yes. Do we feel somewhat pain witnessing that? Yes. But sometimes pain is designed to aid you. Sometimes witnessing pain should make you more generous, should make you more of a helper of humanity. When you witness that, that should spark within you the desire to help someone, to help somebody. So it stimulates us. That's part of, for me, that's part of witnessing the suffering and the pain. Let me go and help somebody. Let me do something to alleviate someone's suffering. Not that I just sit and cry and feel that pain and just sit there and wallow in it and don't get up to do nothing, just in pity and pain. I'm only surmising one of the products that pain should bring from out of us, witnessing horror. That's only one example that I'm utilizing. So I'll stop right there. There's much more, I'm quite sure, that comes from out of us being in periods of adversity, periods of panic. Those who keep their heads, those that don't get so flustered where they can't think. Their thinking is combobulated. They are confused. So praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there. Okay. We begin with righteousness and taqwa go together. Now, many of us can be innocently going on in religion, but truth has not yet discovered, but truth has not yet been discovered as a very powerful part of our life and a very, very high value in the scale of our value. Some of us haven't discovered that. So we said that, quote from the Quran, when the spirit of truth has come, he will lead you into all truth, end of quote. So this concludes with, quote, such are the people of truth, end of quote. And actually, what it says is, quote, such are the people who have been certified as truthful people, sadaqun. Their life, as they have lived it, has established that they are truthful. They have met the requirement to be called the truthful, or ladina sadiqun. As you know, it's from charity too, isn't it? Sadiqan is truth. Sadiqun is truth. But sadiqun also means charity, to give in charity. And I mentioned to you in the Bible, that place in the Bible I gave you yesterday. Yesterday, wasn't it? Yes. I mentioned how these people had not truthfully told or acknowledged how much they could give. And when they went back home, the floor started shaking. The walls started shaking. Things started falling off the shelves. Tables started turning over. And they got so scared or so afraid, and they remembered that they had told a lie about what they had. So you see here, panic, truthfulness, and charity. All this is about righteousness. Ula ikal ladina sadako wa ula ika hamul mutakun taqwa. Wa'ula'ika hamul mutakun. And it says, quote, and they are the God-fearing. Taqwa, having taqwa, strong taqwa. So we conclude then that righteousness and taqwa go together. You can't have righteousness without taqwa, and you can't have taqwa without righteousness. Praise be to Allah. We move to the next subject matter. Righteous is not spiritual extreme, but helping society. So the righteous in Islam are not people who practice some kind of spiritual discipline to get close to God or to get close to the superior nature or the superior reality and maybe become saintly in their life and devoted only to spiritual matters and not caring about sex and all this. That's not righteousness. Our righteousness is doing just what this verse says. Righteous is, i.e., for example, caring for people in our society, wanting to take misery out of the society, wanting to bring help to the people who want help, wanting to assist those who are weak and can't manage for themselves. This is our righteousness, and that's the righteousness of the prophet in the Bible. He said, quote, my fast is two, and one day you will come upon it. And you read the Bible, and when he describes his fast, you will see a resemblance of his description of his fast to this verse on what is righteousness. Allahu sadaquhun adim. Praise be to Allah. It is getting close to 12 o'clock, so I won't be too long. So we have that time we wanted. We want about 20 minutes for comments, questions, and expressions. Whatever you'd like to say that won't cause you to be hurt or put out of here. Now I had no thought of my own and my security. You might say something vulgar, and we may have to put you out of here. Okay? Ephraim Akbar Bahar. I'm Ephraim Akbar, a member of this community, Imam Muhammad. What city are you from? Ephraim Akbar Bahar. Cleveland. I'm a member of Masjid Bilal and the community in Lorain, Ohio. Imam Wasidi Muhammad, thank you. Ephraim Akbar Muhammad states, Imam Wasidi Muhammad, my concern is that I find there's another group using our name, Muslim American Society, and I called this number myself while we were going through the change with the name. And I got a brother named Abu Bakr. What I see here is a possible legal problem. I'd like for someone in our group to check it out and make sure that there is no conflict. Imam Wasidi Muhammad answers him, yes, thank you. That is big. That is serious. Even Ephraim Akbar Bahar says, who should I give this to? Imam Muhammad answers, Imam Plemon, convener of the Shura, Imam Plemon. Brother Ephraim answers, okay, assalamu alaikum, I enjoyed your session. Imam Wasidi Muhammad, thank you very much. Alaikum assalam. We're going to go on this side, then we're going to go back to the left side. I see a brother, yes, Brother Imam from Minnesota. Makram El Amin, that's the brother's name. Assalamu alaikum. Imam Wasidi Muhammad answers him, wa alaikum assalam, and says, this is a young imam, and he's doing a great job in his city, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let me pause now for public service announcement. While Imam is in the question and answer period, so I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Praise be to Allah. If you have any statements or something you would like to offer in this sharing of the Imam's Ramadan session, we ask you press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. This is Dr. Constance Shabazz for American Muslim 360, announcing a new program from our parent corporation, CWSC, called Eyes on Our Communities. While all are being challenged by the current public health environment and policy of spatial distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, some older Americans are being urged to stay at home who could unfortunately wind up being out of sight, out of mind. social isolation itself can be a threat. So CWSC is asking believers nationwide via its National Volunteer Human Resource Network to be an extra set of eyes now for our seniors to help ensure they're okay. If you're a senior or a disabled person and need assistance, please call 910-317-0297, and one of our volunteers will be assigned to call you and help connect you with government agencies, nonprofits, civic or faith-based, and other institutions addressing elderly and disabled needs. We don't want a single person to fall through the cracks. So please call 910-317-0297. Help is just a phone call away. The public service announcement from the CWSC and AM 360.
And Hamlin in line, we are back. You know, I heard information that the COVID virus has mutated to another form and that the infection rate is on the rise once more. I've been informed that it's not as deadly, but, you know, it does bring multiple complications with it. So let us take the necessary precautions to avoid this horrendous virus. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Moving forward, let me share with you, we are sharing from out of the Ramadan session of 1999, December 1999, Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Cleveland, Ohio. And this is session two of that Ramadan session. And they are in a question and answer period. Okay? Usury or interest multiplier? Brother Makran El-Amin asked this question of Imam Muhammad. Can we get some clarity on the term usury, interest? Imam Wahid Muhammad answers here. On usury? Yes. The expression in the Quran is not interest. It is interest multiplied. That's what the question is. The expression is interest multiplied, and it means high, unreasonable cost for the service that's rendered. In the English language, it's called usury. Any exorbitant price you pay for something is sin in Islam. Like we get these garments that we are selling. PCP is selling, and we put the price way up. We can reach a level for our prices where we would be guilty of the same thing, though it's not interest. Making the people pay too much for what you're offering them or giving them unreasonable costs placed on something. But money changing was a big sin, and there were certain people who were engaging in this. I don't think I have to name them. A lot of you know the people. A certain people who were making big business on this. And this is what this warning is. This is aimed at. It's aimed at stopping that. And it was stopped. And it was stopped. The prophet was ordered to stop it, and he stopped it. Didn't allow it. Okay? We're going to go to this side now. I'm going to go from the right to the left. Brother Imam in the back. Brother Imam Fareed. Okay, he's calling on Brother Imam Fareed. Imam Fareed answers him, As-salamu alaykum. My question is concerning Jesus. It seems to be a play on the word Bethlehem. They say Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It seems to be a play on Beit El-Laham. And if that's correct, which means the house of life, Imam Muhammad answers him, "What is that a play on?" Imam Vernon Fareed answers, "Beit El-Lama." Imam Wazidi Muhammad answers, "Oh, yes." Imam Vernon Fareed goes on, "And if that's correct, is it saying that the word, what protects us, is the word of God?" Imam Wazidi Muhammad answers, "Yes. But the height means life. It's not just meat, flesh. It has a reference to flesh, but it means a house of life. No, that's not the end of it. So what you were saying, ask her a question again, Imam Vernon Fareed. I was asking, did it mean protection? Is it saying that since Jesus represents the word of God, is this saying that's what protects us? The house or the environment is the word of God?" Imam Muhammad answers, "Bethlehem, that expression?" Imam Vernon Fareed, "Right." Imam Muhammad answers, "That expression, Bethlehem?" Imam Fareed, "Is that equivalent to Beit El-Lama? They say Bethlehem." Imam W.D. Muhammad answers, "I don't think so. I don't think you should. Can we translate that Beit El-Lama? I don't think so, because the word means life, though it is a reference to flesh, because flesh have life, but it means life, the house of life. It has a reference to also light, purity, and light. Yes, I have to go this way, and then I'll come back to you. You are not the one that got cut out." Okay. Imam Omar Shaheed asked the old man, asked Imam Wahidin Muhammad a question. "Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam." Imam Wahidin Muhammad, "Wa alaikum assalam." Imam Omar Shaheed says, he introduces himself, "Omar Shaheed from South Carolina. There's a reference when Allah says to the angels that, quote, 'I'm going to create a khalifa,' end of quote. Then there's another reference when he says he's going to make Bashar man. Then Iblis says, and then Allah says, 'When I have fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him of my spirit,' end of quote. Now, the connection, I'm looking for the connection here with Bashar. When Iblis said he would not submit to any, he would never submit to any Bashar. And the balance, when Allah said, 'When I have balanced him in due proportion,' now Prophet Muhammad is called Bashar." Imam Wahidin Muhammad, "Yes." Imam Omar Shaheed, Then you mentioned that the Uswa is connected with that Uswa, then you mentioned that the Uswa is connected with that Siwa, the balance." Imam Muhammad answers, "Yes. Uswa is from the word Siwa." "Yes." Imam Omar Shaheed, "So does Prophet Muhammad connect back with the Bashar and balance that Allah was talking about?" Khalif, all right, subject matter that they are addressing is it's written here. Khalifa, addressing the human creature, in the role of responsibility. Imam Muhammad answers it. Yes, there are many terms for the human person. He says he's making a khalifa on the earth. Khalifa is addressing the person in the role of responsibility. God has given him certain responsibility he didn't give to the angels, not even the angels. He didn't give the responsibility, this particular responsibility, to the angels. So khalifa is addressing the creature in his role as a responsible creature, special creature, with special responsibility given to him by God, even higher than the responsibility that the angels had in the world of mankind, in the world of human beings. Okay, I'm going to pause right here, see if anyone has any statements they would like to share with us from what we have shared thus far. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I want to take note of the Imam identifying Khalifa is one that takes responsibility, a special responsibility. The angels are not the Khalifa. The angels do not have the special responsibility that Allah have afforded to the man that he was creating. We know the angels are the hidden forces in the creation, and they follow Allah's command. They have no, they cannot refuse. They follow Allah's command. They support structures that we don't see. They are adhering to the content and the nature that Allah placed within them. Although they are supporting their creation, but they are not responsible for the development of the creation. That alone has been the responsibility given to the Khalifa, the special responsibility to manage this creation, to move it forward, to extract from it its many benefits and gifts for humanity. That responsibility is reserved only for the man that Allah was creating, the Khalifa. Praise be to Allah. Responsibility. That's a very important word. I hope it registers with us. Responsibility. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Basher references human sensitivity. Basher refers to the mortal nature of this creature. This creature is a mortal. And you who have looked up the term mortal, you know it is talking about. It has direct reference to human sensitivity. He's mortal. He can be hurt. He can be sad. He fears dangers. He fears death. He can be killed, but he wants eternal life. He can be corrupt, but he wants purity. So when you say Bashar, all of this, the mortal nature, the man, the person in his mortal nature comes to mind. Now, originally, this meaning, this basher addressed human sensitivities, like the skin, of the person. Our skin is sensitive. Skin is sensitive, and we say, he wears his skin on his sleeve, something like that. What's that expression? It is feeling. He wears his feelings on his sleeve. It means he's very sensitive. Very sensitive. Next subject matter, those obsessed with their own intellectual pursuits. So Basher means this sensitive creature, the intellectuals who are obsessed with their intellectual pursuits. They despise one of their own kind who will show those kinds of sensitivities. They will hate him. They will despise him. They want him to get out. They can't stand to look at him. And Iblis is characteristic of those who are obsessed with their own intellectual pursuits. So then God is saying, I'm going to make a sensitive creature. You are not sensitive up here. You are leading these angels, and you're not sensitive up here, Iblis, and your followers, the angels. So I'm going to make a sensitive creature on the earth down there. And then God goes on to say what he's going to do for him. And when he has completed his favor on him, can you accept him willingly or unwillingly? It says, quote, and they accepted, except Iblis, Abba, Stakbara. He refused. He resented it. He resisted it. Abba. Refused, resented it, resisted it, was stakbara, and became proud of his own creation, bloated in the pride of his own creation. I'll never accept this basher. You are making from stinky earth, fashioned into shape. You see, that's all he is, this basher. This sensitive skin creature, you're talking about, he's nothing but stinky earth, fashioned into the shape of a man, not a real man. But look, quote, from that you don't like is going to come the messenger to you all. And I'm going to keep that term, that you don't like, in his title. The basher shall become a bashir, messenger of human sensitivities, messenger bringing human sensitivities to the world that you don't like, that you look down on, that you despise. I'm going to make it loud in the land. I'm going to be the trumpet blowing and the bell ringing. And the voice yelling, come to human sensitivity. Praises be to Allah, Allahu Akbar. Was that some help? I'm going this way. I'll be back. I'll get in the middle next time. I'm going over here to the left now. Yes, Brother Imam. The Imam is pointing to areas inside of the room that he's speaking to when he said, I'm going to the left. And the center, speaking to those that are present and how they're placed in that room. Okay, let me pause right here, and I ask you if you have any statements you would like to make concerning what we have shared thus far. I ask you to press one on your phone, and Michael, I invite you if you can to share commentary on that which strikes you, inshallah. So we pause now for a public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. We're sharing some out of the Volume 2 of the Ramadan Sessions of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, as edited by our beloved Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. And let me introduce myself. I am Kareem Amin, along with our beloved Imam Michael Hanhamin. Praise be to Allah. So if there is any of you that would like to share a statement concerning what we have broadcast thus far, I ask you to press one on your phone. Okay. If not, you know, there's so much here that needs to be spoken to. You know, when you're hearing this type of understanding, you know, Allah blesses, you know, he blesses our mind, you know, he triggers our mind. And there are people like that. They are so knowledgeable. They begin to worship the knowledge. Let me say that again. There are people like that. They are so knowledgeable. And they hold knowledge to such a high extreme in their life that it becomes an idol to them. They begin to worship the knowledge. And their whole basis is what is logical, is what is logical and concrete. That's a bad situation to be in, for real, for real. You mean you don't have no sensitivity? Yes, I know he committed that crime. Yes, he did. The crime is in black and white. You're right. You have the right knowledge of that crime. But there are extenuating circumstances to that logical conclusion that you are holding on to. There's a sensitivity that accompanied that prior to the act. Praise be to Allah. Prior to the act. Yeah, but he did this, sir. And the book says, there are people like that that look down on someone that will show human sentiment. Oh, man, there he go. I'm just saying, I'll stop right there. I won't go any further with that. But I'm quite sure if you look hard, you can identify people like that, that worship the knowledge and ignore the human. Yes, sir.
I'm listening to this presentation, and I'm looking at Allah bringing creation out of nothing, and we're told that the first coming out of the creation for God's service is the angels, the angelic life that has no will or inclination to think outside of the parameters or the guidelines that God has given to angelic life. And then following that is the jinn. And this group has freedom, a limited free will. And Iblis has been identified as a jinn who is in the leadership of the angels. And then the life of the human being brought into existence, our father Adam and his wife, alayhi salam. And so I'm looking at this progression, and oftentimes when I think about the jinn, I see the picture of the toddler, the young child who has mobility, can move around, but the child is indiscriminate. You know, the child will stick his hand into unclean things, and then put that unclean hand into his mouth. You know, no discrimination, just the urge to discover the environment that he's in. And I see that in terms of that jinn life. Imam described the jinn in terms of empiricism, just a passion to know and understand, but also an unwillingness to be disciplined in terms of knowledge. Knowledge makes us or gives us the ability to discriminate, and knowledge also invites us to be more disciplined. But in empiricism, the empirical thinker doesn't want to come to any conclusion. He just wants to speculate, theorize, but does not want to be disciplined by the conclusions of that the logic brings us to when we follow it to its logical conclusion. So this is some of the things that I'm thinking about as you're reading and the Imam is sharing. And it does, what the Imam is sharing, it does spark our imagination. It's no doubt in my mind that it triggers imaginative thought. And that imaginative thought can serve us into being better human beings, because we're able to see more clearly what God is has revealed to Prophet Muhammad and what the intent of the guidance is to better our life. And I'll stop there.
Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Allah was creating a sensitive creature. A sensitive creature. One that is affected by consequences. One that is not just knowledge. Knowledge is very valuable. But there's a sensitivity that has to accompany that knowledge. And that sensitivity brings discipline to the application of knowledge. You know? Yes, sir. So the shaitan, when he rejected that you would introduce something, a sensitive being, and you made me a fire. I cannot be contained. I consume everything. You know, I'm pure light. But now here you're introducing something with a sensitivity is what Iblis rejects. You're so correct, my brother, along that line of creation. When it reached the point of sensitivity, will you create something that will cause bloodshed on the earth? So the more we are aware of our sensitive nature, coupled with a knowledge base, then we can better manage this creation. We can better manage this creation. There are limits that man should go to reach concerning his knowledge. There are certain behaviors that he should be restrained from. You know, at one time, the scientists believed that they could eradicate crime by aborting the offspring of a criminal.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about, and this is not too long ago. Now, his knowledge is what's leading him. But what prohibited that? The sensitivity that accompanies that type of thinking to abort a child. Matter of fact, we don't have to go too far. We can look into the history of the practices of the Arabs. Their pursuit was material gain. Was material gain to grow my business. I need sons. I need males. And to have a female was seen as a sign of weakness. But they are driven by the knowledge to acquire wealth. And with no sensitivity, they buried their daughters alive in the burning sands of Saudi Arabia. That's an excellent example. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Okay, we'll move forward. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. We are sharing from out of the Ramadan session. This is 1999 at Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio, December the 9th, 1999. Now, let me make sure I'm correct in that. No, it is session two, praise be to Allah, session two of the Ramadan session, December 19th, 1999, last year, Bilal, Cleveland, Ohio. Praise be to Allah. So we move forward. Basher references human sensitivity. I'm starting there. Basher refers to the mortal nature of this creature. This creature is a mortal. And you who have looked up the term mortal, you know it is talking, you know it is talking about. It has direct reference to human sensitivities. He's mortal. He can be hurt. He can be sad. He fears dangers. He fears death. He can be killed, but he wants eternal life. He can be corrupt, but he wants purity. So when you say Basher, all of this, the mortal nature, the man, the person in his mortal nature comes to mind. Now, originally, this meaning, this Basher addressed human sensitivities like the skin of the person. Our skin is sensitive. Skin is sensitive, and we say, he wears his skin on his sleeve, something like that. What's that expression? He wears his feelings on his sleeves. It means he's very sensitive, very sensitive. The next subject matter, those possessed with their own intellectual pursuits. So Basher means this sensitive nature. The intellectuals who are obsessed with their intellectual pursuits, they despise one of their own kind who will show those kinds of sensitivities. They will hate him. They will despise him. They want him to get out. They can't stand to look at him. And Iblis is characteristic of those who are obsessed with their own intellectual pursuits. So then God is saying, I'm going to make a sensitive creature. You are not sensitive up here. You are leading these angels, and you're not sensitive up here, Iblis, and your followers, the angels. So I'm going to make a sensitive creature on the earth down there. And then God goes on to say what he's going to do for him. And when he, Allah, when he has completed his favor on him, can you accept him willingly or unwillingly? It says, and they all accepted, except Iblis. Abba wastakbara. He refused. He resented it. He resisted it. Abba refused, resented it, resisted it. Wastakbara. And became proud of his own creation, gloated in the pride of his own creation. Quote, I'll never accept this basher you are making from stinky earth fashioned into shape. You see, that's all he is. This basher, this sensitive-skinned creature, you are talking about he's nothing but stinky earth fashioned into the shape of a man, not a real man, skinned creature. Okay, but look, from that you don't like, is going to come the messenger to you all, and is going to keep that term that you don't like in his title. This Bashar shall become a Bashir, messenger of human sensitivities, messenger bringing human sensitivity to the world that you don't like, that you look down on, that you despise. I'm going to make it loud in the land. I'm going to be the trumpet blowing and the bell ringing and the voice yelling, come to human sensitivity. Praises be to Allah, Allahu Akbar. Was that some help? Okay, now the imam is pointing in the area of the room. I'm going this way. I'll be back. I'll get in the middle next time. I'm going over here to the left now. Yes, brother imam. Kabir Rahim is speaking. Assalamu alaikum. Kabir Rahim from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Imam, last year you gave us a focus for the Eid. Have you thought about it this year, what we should focus on? Imam Muhammad asked the question. For the Eid, Kabir Rahman, yes, sir. Imam Wahdadi Muhammad answers him, well, you know we're having the Eid of Fitra first. And then 3 months later, we have Eid al-Adha for the Ramadan celebration and our successful fast during the month of Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr. I think it would be a good idea for us to concentrate on the virtues of fasting and Ramadan. What are these virtues mainly? They are bodily and spiritual purity. And on the other hand, the virtue is compassion for those suffering and doing worse than we are, worse off than we are, so that we will work hard to make the society free of unnecessary suffering, misery, ignorance, and to extend charity to them. The fasting is mainly to bring us closer to Allah, to God, but the benefit in the society is that it makes us more aware of the need to help those who are less fortunate than we are. So I think that should be the concentration. If I can, yes, sir. So let me go to the middle now. In the far rear, the brother with the sweater and the glasses. I know your name, but I can't recall it right now. The imam from Lansing, Michigan. Question. Brother Imam, can you explain something about the Y2K? Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. Oh, yes. Well, we have done something, excuse me. Oh, yes. Well, we have done everything by now. But my advice to you is to read what you are saying or the possible bad things that can happen, problems that can occur, and take preventive steps yourself right away. Banks won't be excused if they mess up your account or anything. The government won't excuse them because they are supposed to take the proper steps too. So don't worry about your money in a bank and all that, but it is possible. We don't know what the system has planned. The system might see a chance to excuse. Not the whole system. I mean the system. Any part of the system may be a chance to do something to better the system and do it under the cover of Y2K problems. You may face some difficulty, so we have to prepare for it. I advise you to have water in your house, boiled water. Put away a supply of bottled water at least to last you a week. Shouldn't be any problems for more than a few days or so. So who knows? So get you some water. Put some water in your house and be sure you have something to survive on, such as food, staple foods like rice, beans, non-perishable food, canned goods, not frozen food. Don't store up on frozen food. The box refrigerator might go out. The refrigerator may go out. The system may do something, you know. So let's not be unaware that sometimes these systems need changing. And they may say, here's the time we can cut this off. We can stop this for a while. Let's improve this. Let's find this problem. Let's do this. Okay? The Y2K is referring to a time when they figured a digital count would trigger a negative reaction to those things that are tied to digital function. Praise be to Allah, to digital function. At a certain part of the year. So that's what they're referring to when they say Y2K, which means the year 2000. Praise be to Allah. For example, electricity is taxed too much. Providing electricity to cities and towns now is a big, big problem, and they've got to solve that. They may take advantage of this problem, and maybe all the electricity may go down, and they will put workers on it. They might try to correct problems so they can have a better system once they start it back up. These are possibilities, you see. So don't just trust the refrigerator. Don't trust the lights in your house. Get you some candles. Don't trust the heat. Get you a space heater. But not electric ones. Yep, get a kerosene one. It'll keep your house warm if the electricity goes on. You should have that anyway, because we never know what's going to happen, you know. So I just say take due precautions so that you won't be suffering if something should happen. We're going to go in the center again, speaking to the area of the room that he's addressing. So we're going in the center again. Because we didn't go in the center. The brother right here in the gray sweater. Yes? Question. Let me check my time. Praise be to Allah. Question. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Abdul Rahim from Cleveland. I want to know about Islamic reformers of the past, like Ibn Arabi Rumi or Ghazali, etc. The great scholar, Maulana Maududi. Imam Muhammad answers him, yes, there were many reformers, and even in our time there are reformers. I think Maulana Maududi was a great reformer of our time. He was a Pakistani scholar. He died some years ago. I remember being on Hajj, and he was on the same Hajj the same year. He was in his tent, and I was invited to come meet him, and I did. And I had already been affected by some of his writings. He wrote a book, Islam in Focus, and he wrote a book on the Prophet entitled The Prophet of Islam. He wrote a book on Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of God. It was just so touching what he was saying about Prophet Muhammad. And he was just telling about his life, you know, how he lived. And it was just so touching. It made me just want to help Muhammad the prophet. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him with all my life, if I could. So I loved that man. I had a chance to meet him, and you know what he did? He told me to sit down. I sat down by him in his tent, big tent. He had many followers. He's got many followers. And he said to them, one thing I want you all to know, he said, don't go to America and try to lead the Muslims there. He said, leave them be. Assist them, but don't try to lead them. That's what he told them. He was a great scholar, Maulana Maududi. So we have many scholars. They are not all reformers. But I think Maulana Maududi was part of a reform movement. You see, sometimes the reformer is not the individual, but the time period and what happens in that time period because of several leaders following each other. And the reform starts with one, helped by another, not always passed on to another one. Most don't have any connection with that one at all. But he comes up, and he addresses the problem at that time, too. And all together, they make a powerful reformation, and you have to see the reformer not in one person. Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad doesn't want to be called Mujahid. This is the subject, next subject matter he's addressing. Imam W.D. Muhammad doesn't want to be called Mujahid.
This is
Imam Muhammad. Yes, sir.
And this is wisdom and insight into Allah's Sunnah, his practices, and it's very beneficial for us to grow our life as Muslims with this kind of deep insight that most of the Muslim world does not have. We are very blessed, and it's a great mercy to those of us that identify as students of Imam Muhammad and as associates of his. Yes, I mean this kind of language excites me because of Allah's handiwork, his operation. And as you were sharing this, you're reading this, I think about the tumult, the Gaza genocide that's taking place. The Uyghurs being put in prison and their Muslim community life being destroyed, them being put in facilities to teach them out of their al-Islam, and all of these things going on. But there is a logic to it, a logic of Almighty God bringing us to a point of growth and maturity. And we're seeing how people are being more interested in Al-Islam because of these savage events that are taking place. They want to know what Al-Islam is from the sources. And it's just so encouraging, you know, when we understand what kind of God would we be believing in if he didn't have control of everything? I mean, what kind of God is that? Comes to my mind, you know. And so if we follow that logic, then that means that my thinking is too small to understand God's operation, his strategy. We already know that it's going somewhere. The prayer of Jesus, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is something that's established in the history of believing people. And also what the Quran says about the believers being successful. So there is a transformation that's taking place. And Imam Muhammad, having deep insight into this, is not going to allow his work to be caught up in name. You know, even though he's working as a reformer, he's identifying a time, a spirit of reform, and how individuals and groups contribute to this reform that Almighty God is bringing about. So he's mm-hmm. not getting caught up in the title of Mujaddid, and I'll stop there.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. What the Imam is sharing with us, that there's a season that comes about, a period
yes.
of time. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Okay.
This is wonderful.
Imam Morris.
This is wonderful.
Yes, we have a brother.
I say this
Michael?
Is wonderful, man. This is wonderful.
Yes, sir. We thank Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Imam W.D. Muhammad doesn't want to be called Mujaddid. I'm part of the reform, but I don't want you to call me Mujaddid. I don't want you to call me that, but I'm part of this great reform. Maulana Maududi was a great propagation spirit, and there are a few others. There are some rising now that you don't even know. We'll know them soon. They're working hard. They're doing great work right now in different lands, different parts of the world. Some of them go quietly. They don't want visibility. They know how to affect change without even being visible or coming to the forefront. They are like the angels, and they are doing a great work. This is definitely a major reform period from about 1950, definitely from 1960 to the present time. A major reform period. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a lot to do with it. He sent shocks through the earth. And believe me, a lot of Muslim thinkers in foreign Muslim countries, they know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad woke them up. Now, that doesn't mean he woke them up with Islam, but he woke them up to the seriousness of the times and what was happening on this earth. He woke them up to it. Is he part of this reform movement? You bet. I know. Maybe he was a big jinn, but Allah said he will cause the jinn to even help. All I know is he was a big something. He sure wasn't a small something, a big,
fix something. And though he confused, his teaching caused him to put darkness and confusion in the air too. There is no way I could do this if I hadn't come from my Father. That's the time and the circumstances that produced me, and I still have the best of that life in me right now. And Elijah is here just working so hard, and he's as happy as he's ever been. Brother E, ma'am, I only see your finger. Could you stand? The brother with the shirt and tie on right there. Sadiq Jihad. Sadiq Jihad answers, yes, sir. Imam Wafidi Muhammad. He says, from Detroit, Michigan, thank you very much. Sadiq Jihad says, also, I want to ask a question. The question is the hadith that the sun will rise from the west and then go back down. The suggestion is there is a barzakh or barrier between this life and the next. So we won't understand what death is. Now, the words are written here, bir, B-I-R-R, on the bar, B-A-R. Imam Muhammad responds to his question. Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, the sun will rise from the east, but there are some things the human being just can't perceive in totality. So it will continue. Yes, sir.
The west, rise from the west.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes, the sun will rise from the west. But there are some things the human being just can't perceive in totality. So it will continue. The movement that God has set for it, it comes from the east and goes to the west. Sadiq Jihad asks his question. Righteousness? Imam Muhammad, yes. It is a double R. B-I-R-R. El-Burr. El-Burr. Sadiq Jihad. Bur is, well, bar is land. So there should always be bur on the bar. Excuse me for laughing, people. That's so beautiful. So Imam Wahdi Muhammad said, that's right. And the well is bur. And he said they put bur on the bar. And we have to always keep bur on the bar because the bar is weak. That's the land. This is my commentary. That's the land. The bur is righteousness. That's what I'm getting from this. Okay. Sadiq Jihad, his statement, keep righteousness on the land. Imam Wahdi Muhammad answered, I understand. They understand too, yeah. That Satan sure brags, doesn't he? He's bragging. He's bragging to the saints who have insight. He's bragging to them. You got your righteousness. Here's your righteousness on this bar, he says. And look at my followers coming to take the drink of my righteousness. Yes, yes, brother. Imam Ahmad Shamsuddin. I'm Imam Ahmad Shamsuddin from Beloit, Wisconsin. And my comments to Imam Wahdi Muhammad are praise be to Allah for you and your leadership of us into the world. My comment is in regards to Dawah. My comment is concerning the city of Beloit. We have had you on television for well over 8 years now. Imam Muhammad answers, Alhamdulillah, big congratulations to you and big wish for your success forevermore. Success and that God reward you with good from all goodness. Jazakallah khair min khair khul. Imam Shamsuddin goes on. The concern is there are others that would like for ourselves to be on television, but I, myself, don't like the ego problems that come with that. And I know that we should be doing some dawah in terms of getting right there in the city. But I don't know a clear voice of Al-Islam. So I just want to know if you have any comments in regards to that, Imam Muhammad. Answer. Let me give my office that information, and inshallah, would you please leave your number for your work where we can reach you with me today? We can leave it right here on the table, right here. I'm sitting at this table. If you leave it right on that table with a name and a number where we can contact you in Beloit, I have the office contact you, and I would like to come to Beloit. I may bring a staff person with me. We're going to sit down and see what we can do. Thank you very much. Yes, Sister Mariam? Sister Mariam is speaking. Thank you very much, Brother Imam. Brother Imam, the meaning of the word, El Amin. Recently in Detroit, I was working on the meaning of the word, El Amin. Imam Muhammad answered, it is ilm, knowledge. The root meaning is science, pure science and knowledge. Let me pause right here. Praise be to Allah. These are statements that was made in 1999. If someone is on the line that can acquaint me with the Imam coming out publicly, giving a new translation on Rabbil Alameen, Lord of all the systems of knowledge, if you know that year, please inform me. Because we are seeing it expressed here in the year 1999. Michael, do you remember when the Imam came out publicly offering Tabir al-Amin?
No, sir, I don't.
These four systems of knowledge. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Muhammad. Okay. Imam Muhammad. Okay. Is there someone? I think this is our brother Mark. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Kareem Hamid, and to you, Michael Hamid, to your student radio listening audience at AM360 Radio. Were you about to read what Imam Muhammad said in 1999 in terms of Rabbi Ayla Amin?
Yes, sir. No, sir. He was answering a question of a sister that was from Detroit that was teaching on that phrase. And Imam Muhammad said to her, I'll share with you her question. I don't want to put what I think you said or what someone else said, but I recall you saying the word El Amin. The root meaning of that word is just like you said, ilm, right? Imam Muhammad answers him. He said, right. It's ilm, which means knowledge.
Knowledge, yes.
Or
yes.
Alama.
Yes, true. Yeah, he ultimately changed that. And as we know, those who probably have read Yusuf Abdullah Ali's translation, Lord of all the worlds, is how it's translated or, given in his translation. But that Elm, in terms of the root, El Amin, is knowledge of all systems of knowledge, all systems of knowledge. And so the world being the natural, as the Imam taught us, being the the natural world, not the natural world, not in terms of mixing it up with man's world, but the natural world, that all of the natural creation has a knowledge base in it. So Imam Muhammad, Allah blessed him with the insight to be able to see that this natural creation of this natural world, this is often, this natural world has a system of knowledge in it. And so the benefit in terms of studying it, he also said that the intellect was created for the natural world, and the natural world was created for the intellect, and for it to engage it, to extrapolate, if you will, extrapolate the benefit and the mercy that, that comes from that. Also, while I'm at it, Rob, he gave to us is the the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, protector, evolver, you see, of the this creation. And Allah tells us that in the Quran, too, that he evolved the creation from simple to complex, from immaturity to maturity. Also, he also said for Rob, one of the best, you know, always keep in mind that Rab means teacher. And so we have in the Quran that Allah is always teaching you. You know, this is something I don't know that many, unless they're students of the Imam, may have heard that Rab means teacher. You know, and we go to the first five ayahs that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see that there's verification there in Surah Iqra, you know, where Allah says that he taught man the use of the pen, but he taught man what he was not yet knowing. And that's through the natural creation and also revelation. These are actually, Imam Muhammad said, the two hands in which he creates that is human, through the natural creation, the big book, and through revelation. And he once held up the Quran, and he said, this is the little book that points us to the big book. So I could say more, but I think I said enough in regards to that. So hopefully that's helpful in that regard. But look at Rob as not only nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver, but also as teacher of the systems of knowledge, because Allah is, he's teaching us through his, we can only know, and he said this, you can only know Allah through the natural creation and through revelation. You can't know Allah directly, but you can know Allah indirectly. This is why we have what is called the Al-Asma al-Husna, the 99 beautiful known names of Allah. And we should say that. We shouldn't say that Allah has 99 names. You can't put a restriction. When you're trying to define Allah, you can't. When you define, you confine. You can't confine Allah. This is only what man knows in that regard. I think I said enough. I'll stop there.
That was wonderful, my brother. Thank you.
I mean,
Allah. Yeah, read the big book. Big
book. The big book. The big book. That's natural creation. That's the big book.
Yep.
And that's what Allah told, that's what Allah revealed to the Prophet first, to read that, to read the big book first. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Mark. Is there anyone else that have any statements they would like to share before we move forward? Okay. Mark, you press one on the phone, that will take you out of the queue. And if you wish to share once more, press one and open up your mic, inshallah. Okay. Yes, where are we at? Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is. Sister Amaya, I'll start with her statement or her question. I don't want to put what I think you said or what someone else said, but I recall you saying the word Elamim. The root meaning of that word is just like you said, Elm, right? Imam Muhammad answers, right. It's Elm, which means knowledge, or Alama, from Alama, which means to learn or to be taught. Sister Mariam, yes, I got those messages. How would I spell the root meaning of Alama? Imam Muhammad asked her, in transliteration? She says, yes, the Elm. Imam Muhammad answers her, I-L-M. Sister Maria, okay, I just wanted to be sure because that's what I have. Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad, okay, it's time for us to make prayer. So we'll have one more. Sister Editor, Aisha, he's calling on Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha Mustafa, Brother Imam, it's about the Muslim calendar. The year 2000, how much importance should we put on the calendar of the year 2000 as opposed to the Muslim calendar? Okay. Next, okay. We need to know what is expected for the third millennium of the Christians. Imam Muhammad answers her, yes, the coming of the millennium 2000 is to take us into the third millennium and is very, very significant for all people on this earth because Western rule and Christian presence has been so great since the time of Islamic education that the Turkish government giving up on the struggle with the West. So the West has had a great presence and have advanced the civilization, its sciences, exact sciences. Notice that I said exact sciences. Have advanced exact sciences so much so that the whole world is living in the world of the West. And this millennium means a lot to citizens of the West who are Christians, mostly Christians. Then we should be interested to know what they expect for the millennium, this coming millennium. What are they expecting? Because what they are expecting is going to have an effect on the whole world, on all of us. And if they're expecting something big, we have to celebrate this with them. We want to be in the spirit, at least, of the celebration of righteousness. That's what the Christian world is doing. It is celebrating righteousness, and they want to see righteousness come back strong in the world. They want to see a morally conscious public everywhere, in all nations, and they want to see an ethical rule, more ethical rule by governments and institutions. They want to see more ethical life. And I know, because I'm among them, I belong to them. I'm a Muslim, but I work with them. I work with these people, with these institutions and these bodies, these big world bodies. Oh, someone is, okay, let me stop right here. I see Bilal has raised his hand. Coming to you immediately, Bilal. Okay. As-salamu alaykum, Bilal.
Praise be to Allah. And you know, being something that happened on the political arena, I just like to say something about America as a political idea or strategy or experiment. And the experiment is in human freedom. And it's very, very simple. Can the human being be responsible for their life? Or do they have to be governed? We, alhamdulillah, we'll be governed by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and what Allah has established for us. So we keep that in mind, and everything that's going on in the environment, we know that we are under the guidance of Allah, and we have the ability to govern our own life with the freedom that Allah has given us in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. So you know, so let's not be disturbed about what's going on in that political arena, because Allah has given us the guidance. So praise be to Allah. I just wanted to mention that. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
Okay, the Imam goes on. I'll back up a little bit. I know, yeah, they want to see a morally conscious public everywhere, in all nations, and they want to see an ethical rule, more ethical rule by governments and institutions. They want to see more ethical life. And I know, because I'm among them. I belong to them. I'm a Muslim, but I work with them. I work with these people, with these institutions and these bodies, these big world bodies. That's what they want to see. So God knows in my heart, I'm working with them and I'm celebrating with them. It is not my millennium, it's their millennium, but it affects all of us. And if they're ready to make this world more righteous after they have made it so wicked, I want to be their friend now. I didn't want to be their friend back then. I didn't want to be their friend in 1950. I was not their friend. I didn't want to be their friend. And if you could take me back to 1950 by some magic, I wouldn't be their friend in 1950. But I'm their friend in 1999, although I know a lot of devils are still around and everywhere, not just in the church or in the Christian society. So is that satisfactory? We want to acknowledge that we too have an interest in the jubilennium, the celebration of the millennium. We have an interest in it, though we come from Islamic spirit, not from Christian spirit. We embrace all good, acknowledge all good, embrace all good, and assist all good. Okay, Sister Aisha has another question. The other part, Brother Now, I guess what I'm trying to find out, is there a parallel in the Muslim calendar somewhere? Okay, this is concerning similar changes occurring at the same time for Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Imam Muhammad answers her, no, the Islamic calendar is completely different. We're not having to celebrate even a century. We're not celebrating a new century at that time. Excuse me. The calendars are different, but something is occurring that make calendars bigger than the calendar. And what is that? A phenomenal, major worldwide change that's occurring now. And it's occurring for the people of the great faith. And if we study, we will see how Islam seems to have lost its vitality and how it has now it's having a presence. And if we study, we will see how Islam seems to have lost its vitality and how it has now begun to show its vitality, and how Judaism seemed to have been secret, or at least aloof, separate from the world, and now it's having a presence. Jews are bringing Judaism strong to the forefront. It's having a presence, and we will see how Christianity has really been oppressive, puritanical, oppressive, egotistical, arrogant, but now it's mellowing out.
and all of these wonderful similar changes are occurring at the same time for Judaism, for Christians, Christianity, and for Islam. This is no accident. That's why I say today is the day of religion. So really, this time is a time, like I said, it's a time of great reformers. They are contributing to great reform for Islam, for the Muslim society of the world. And it's at the same time a time for reform in Christianity, at least in Christian society. And it's a time for reform in the society of the Jews or for Judaism. Let me pause right here. If you don't know, you know now. The real religious Jews are coming out with a loud voice, full-throated, condemning the idea of Zionism, the idea of a special people and a special land. Their voices are being heard. And I'll just stop right there. Okay. Yes. So the reform is occurring at the same time. Is that not an accurate observation? I think that's an accurate observation. The reform is occurring at the same time. God is above calendars. God is above calendars. God is bigger than calendars.